a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. We'd like to welcome you to the weekly Democrat press conference. We're going to do a little bit different. We've tried to focus on one topic, and our primary discussion today, we want to visit about health care and how important that is in the state of South Dakota. And it's such an important part of our state budget, and we're going to focus on that. And then at the end, we're going to we have Representative Dennis Feigert from District 1, and he'd like to visit with us a little bit on the bill he brought forth on HB 1216 and county funding and education funding. We'll spend just a few minutes talking about that. Medicaid expansion has dominated or been a major conversation for the last 2 years out here in session. And as we've said during this session, we've had some progress, and there's some encouraging sign that lawmakers and the executive branch are willing and ready to make a smart investment in healthcare. So we're encouraged by that. You know, we're facing some serious workforce shortages across the state, and it's important that we do all we can to ensure that our workforce is productive and healthy, and that they have good health care so they can contribute to our economy and be responsible for their own lives. The Affordable Care Act, the ACA Act, has survived over 50 plus votes out in DC, and it looks like it's here to stay. Even with the new majority coming in the Senate, I don't think that they're going to be able to overturn that. And so we need to be realistic in what's happened. You know, we have the open enrollment is finishing here February 15th for this year on the health insurance exchange. Last year, over 24,147 South Dakotans applied on the health insurance exchange. And this year, another 13,400 have signed up so far. And we don't have the final numbers yet. During that first open enrollment, there was 5,423 South Dakotans who were referred over to the Medicaid. And of those 5,400, only 10%, or about 537, were deemed eligible for our Medicaid in South Dakota. So that's over 5,000 that were not able to apply in the health insurance exchange and that were not deemed to be covered under our Medicaid programs in South Dakota. The Medicaid in South Dakota, we've always been extremely conservative, more conservative than most all other states on first, our eligibility for Medicaid, and second, we're conservative on our benefits that we've paid in the Medicaid program. In 2014, South Dakota served on a monthly average about 115,000 people on Medicaid, and it fluctuates a couple thousand here and there, but that's been pretty close. And of that 115,000, that involves about 60,000 families that are affected by Medicaid. Of those 115,000, 68% were children. So there are major ones that Medicaid is providing for. And the other major one is through the hospitals and nursing homes, where our largest allocation of Medicaid funds is going. 56% of all nursing homes residents are funded through the Medicaid system. Skilled nursing facilities and hospices served on an average about 3,300 individuals every month in 2014 for Medicaid. Well, the conclusion of that is we're taking care of our youngest people, our children, on Medicaid, and we're taking care of the oldest on Medicaid, but it's the people, the workforce age people, that we're not taking care of. And as we've had a major focus this year on workforce and workforce development and people available, that's the people we're not taking care of. Many people, even though they're working, they aren't able to afford health care, and they're not eligible for Medicaid. So those are the discussions that hopefully the remaining session that we want to work around that discussion. We've got the regional director from HHS coming out next Thursday to visit with leadership and just talk about what options are available and what other states have done, if there's a willingness to visit with them. But I'd like to turn it over to Senator Sutton for a little bit more on it.
Thank you. Billy Sutton, District 21 Senator, Senate Minority Leader. You know, I think Spence summed it up pretty well But we are at a critical stage in our healthcare industry as far as workforce and what they're able to provide. You know, I like to go back to the story of a community support provider in my district that is very frustrated because the majority of their dollars come from Medicaid. And the reimbursement rate is such that they told me about a year and a half ago that they weren't able to be competitive even just in the town of Winter. The example was given to me that McDonald's was paying a higher wage than what they can pay. And that is a problem. That should be a disturbing thing to South Dakotans and to the folks that need to get their health care from providers in South Dakota. Our reimbursement rates are very conservative compared to states around us, and it's something that needs to be addressed. And our caucus has focused on that over the last several years, is trying to get provider reimbursement rates up to a competitive level. And, you know, the discussion always revolves around that we don't have the money. And that's a fair discussion, except that you can see with roads and bridges that if we make something a priority, we can find the money. And we have found the money in many different instances. So I think that's an important thing to note. You know, I think the statistics out there that for direct care providers, they have a 57% turnover rate in fiscal year 14. 57% turnover rate. And a lot of that has to do with the dollars that they're able to pay their employees. Those employees are moving on to different jobs, and we're not being competitive in that field. We have done a lot in the healthcare system to try and attract people and attract providers to our state. Things such as tuition reimbursement for doctors, and we've expanded the medical school. The governor has proposed that in the past. We've expanded that by 11 per year for a total of 44 in that expanded class. So we are doing some things to address that issue, but a big problem is the Medicaid provider reimbursement. Other things that we're doing, especially this session, Senate Bill 169 is a bill that would expand prenatal care to pregnant women in South Dakota. And that's a big issue. Senator Hunhoff is bringing that bill. And it's been proven to save a lot of money, and it saves lives. And it's something that we need to have a deep discussion about, is expanding prenatal care to pregnant women, all pregnant women in South Dakota. Another big issue that just passed out of the Senate yesterday was the autism insurance reform. You know, it would address applied behavioral analysis, and that's been a big issue, a big discussion topic during last session, and there wasn't an agreement reached. And so during the summer, a work group got together, and they met four times over the summer, and they brought in stakeholders from the insurance industry and the governor's office and, you know, folks that are affected by autism here in South Dakota. Right now there's 860 children, I think, is the number that are affected in South Dakota by autism. And it's a very big deal that we've taken this step, and it is a step in the right direction. The only downside I can see is that it doesn't go far enough. And we need to continue to have this discussion and continue to address you know, what we ask insurance companies to do in South Dakota when it comes to such things as autism and audiology. You know, we had a bill last year that would ask insurance companies to cover hearing aids for kids. And those are some of the topics that get to be very frustrating here in Pierre when we can't get them done. But it is a good sign that we're moving forward with this autism insurance reform. And so I'm looking forward to those further discussions. You know, so with that, I guess I would just close that we are doing some things to improve our healthcare system in South Dakota, but I think that we can do better, especially when it comes to provider reimbursement rates, to make and keep our healthcare professionals in their field. And, you know, whether you like it or not, we are in South Dakota, we have an aging population. The only places that our population is growing are on our reservations. And with that are come some huge challenges when it comes to our healthcare workforce. And so we need to stay on top of that and continue moving forward on that issue. So with that, I'll turn it over to
Spence. Thank you, Senator Sutton. As we switch over here, last Friday, the governor made the announcement on his Blue Ribbon Task Force on education and teacher pay. And we're cautiously optimistic that that's going to be a great thing. We've been talking for quite a while about education and our funding and the teacher pay being so low in South Dakota. And we're hopeful that first off out of this, they develop a recognition that there is a problem. And secondly, hopefully it can get into the solution discussion. And that's exactly what we've been wanting to happen. So we're excited that we can get to this point. And we've had these discussions earlier in session about what we want to do in education, so hopefully this will move the discussion along. But part of that discussion is education is funding, and a lot of our funding circles around property tax and property tax dollars. And that's why we brought Dennis, Representative Fiker, today to visit a little bit about, just touch on the subject lightly, on the property tax.
Thank you. Dennis Fiker, District 1 House. I represent North Brown County, Marshall County, Roberts County, and Day County. And this issue of property tax has been with me for 25 years or better. I served on the Brown County Commission up in Aberdeen for 20 years and was County Commissioner when the limit was put on local government, the 3% or cost of living, whichever is less. We have to commend Governor Janklow for what he did at that time, because there truly was a crisis. There was an issue with property tax, and a real solution to that issue was never accomplished. And so today we're sort of right back into the same situation that we were in back in 1995. It's truly an issue of funding for counties and funding for the schools. They basically, what we have done is we have wrapped our hands around property values and property tax as a funding source for education, and we're backing ourselves right back into a corner with a serious issue with property tax. And the counties struggle with issues of especially in the jails, law enforcement. Our counties throughout South Dakota are so diverse, and as are the school districts. There's 160 some school districts in the state of South Dakota. There are 66 counties in the state of South Dakota, and we're all from Minnehaha County to Bennett County, extreme differences. Some counties are able to fund their entire road programs with wheel tax and registration fees. Some counties use 85 to 90% of their property tax revenue just to fund the road program. So a matter of how we get our heads together and actually take control of this property tax issue, whether it's some type of total tax reform, corporate income tax, some type of a funding mechanism that gets funding for school off the general mill levy. I think that's a very important thing that we have to look at here in the state legislature. Thank you very much.
And along with that discussion, thank you, Representative Fiker, that is the capital outlay discussion that's going on right now for school funding and their capital outlay and the property tax funding of that. That is a major issue. And our intent was to talk about it this week, actually. But there's some discussion going on different bills, 1207 over on the House side. And there's still a lot of moving parts, so we thought it would be best if we just hold off. Hopefully by next week we're able to come and talk about that, or the week after. And it directly relates back to property taxes, what's happening on the local level, what's happening on ag taxation, and especially private home taxation, too. Senator Sutton, comments?
No, I think that you guys nailed it. And It is an issue that we need to continue to talk about, but at the same time, we have to figure out how to keep our schools and their funding whole. Because when you start talking about the capital outlay discussion and capping capital outlay, that creates a whole new discussion. It's because it's being framed as a tax issue, and it is a tax issue, but it's also an education issue. And so when we start talking about capping capital outlay, we have to figure out ways to make sure that our schools are held harmless or, in my opinion, figure out ways to adequately fund them, because right now I don't feel they are being adequately funded as we currently are. So if we hamstring them even more, it just makes it that much more difficult for schools. But we can get into that discussion a little further. So with that, we would turn it over for questions and try to answer the best we can.
Is there anybody on the line that'd like to ask questions? I guess not, Jackie. You can go.
Since we're talking about property taxes, I asked the Republicans this too about the bill that failed and to get rid of the cap. Can you talk a little bit about? You kind of touched on it already, but the burden that's been put on towns and counties and what really needs to be done is. Property taxes is there's a lot that property taxes pay for. Do we just need to relook at how our tax system entirely, or what does need to be done to get at this issue?
Thank you for the question. I think if you really study the issue and really look at it, the schools, even though they struggle with funding. There's no question that the schools have been able to, through capital outlay, which now is an issue and has become an issue, talking about capping capital outlay, truly local government, counties and townships, have not been able to pass opt-outs as easily as school districts have. They've counties are more directly affected by the cap than the schools have been, and I only see this issue as becoming deeper and deeper. I mean, it isn't something that is going to be solved in a matter of 1 year's time. I think if we have or come up with a funding source for education outside of the property tax, that we can move forward and we can do what's right for education and we can relieve the counties of the issue, the struggles they have. If you look at your tax notice and you look at the percentage of the property tax dollar that you pay that goes to the county or various other things, whether it's a water district or a sewer district or a fire department or whatever it might be, and then you look at what portion of that property tax goes to education, it doesn't look like the counties are getting very much as compared to what the schools take out of that. So hopefully we can stay at the table and we can continue to talk about it and make some progress.
Are there any callers on the line that like to ask a question or more questions? Do you have any more questions, Jackie?
As far as the Medicare or the Medicaid discussions,
yes.
What are you hearing as far as compromises or possibly what can be done?
Well, the big discussion on the Medicaid is the governor's position has been that he is not willing to put any dollars out of general fund into the discussion. So if there is a solution, there has to be a funding solution with it. And the funding solution, which other states have worked up, involves providers, whether the providers take a lower fee or for the service or something to help offset our FMAP, our 10% requirement, when we max out in 2020. And so the providers, and there's been that discussion with providers, and we haven't been part of that discussion with the providers. They're kind of agreeing with themselves what they think they can do. but it's encouraging, the information that, that feeds back to us. And I'm hoping before the end of session, we do have a carrier bill that's been put in that would be available if something pops up quickly that could be used to fix this and get a Medicaid expansion by the end of the session. So that ability is there if something, and it's encouraging. Details, it's real tough to tell you the details yet because I haven't got them total.
Well, and I would just add that it's the reason it's hopeful for me is that one of the last arguments against expanding Medicaid is the cost from our friends across the aisle. And if the providers, in fact, do come up with the money, I would be very disheartened if our friends across the aisle didn't agree to expansion, because that's really the holdup. From what I've heard from leadership and from those folks. And so I think that's why I'm most hopeful, is that if there is a dollar solution, that I think this thing can and should happen. And I think our stance has kind of been we'll push for expansion in any form if it means that we're going to be able to get those folks below 100% of poverty covered, because right now our system is not treating those folks fairly. Because if you're over 100% of poverty, you're eligible for subsidies on the federal exchange. If you just happen to be below 100% of poverty and you're not currently eligible for Medicaid, you're just out of luck. And I don't think that is something that we want to continue saying. That's a black eye for South Dakota, in my opinion. And when we're leaving the poorest of the poor without coverage.
Might add too is we started off the discussion to mention the Affordable Care Act and what's going on in D.C. and there is some out here that feels that if we expand Medicaid, it encourages the Affordable Care Act, and they don't want to do that. And that's the reason that we need to be realistic. The Affordable Care Act, I don't see how you can unwind it right now and just get rid of it. The millions that have gone in across the nation, besides the thousands in South Dakota, you can't just pull their coverage and say we're not going to provide coverage. And I haven't seen another option right now. So that being said, if that's the reason that we don't want to expand Medicaid because we encourage the ACA Act to continue, I don't think that argument floats. The dollar issue, I can understand that and the concerns and what the effect is on the budget in South Dakota, and that is a valid discussion to have. And if we've answered that question, I would see no reason that we shouldn't expand. So.
Any callers on the line that would like to ask a question before closing remarks? Okay. It's about 10:30, so we'll... Unless if you guys want to add anything, would you guys like to add?
We'd just like to say thank you again. We enjoy this, the chance to get together weekly, and if there's a question out there, and just give a little perspective from our side and what's been happening out in Pierre. And there's some issues working right now that hopefully we can have a lot more answers in the next couple weeks for you.
Yeah, I think that, we're over halfway through now. And things are going to really start happening here as we get closer to crossover day. And, the legislation that's still out there, the big legislation, such as roads and bridges and things like that, are far from over. And we're going to continue to have those discussions. This legislation that's out here right now is going to change pretty drastically before we're done. I don't think a lot of people realize that we're only here for a maximum of 40 days, and we get a lot done in a 40-day time frame. And so there isn't much time for partisanship and those kind of things, and that's one thing that I've always appreciated about South Dakota, is that we only have a certain amount of time to get the job done, and so we have to do what it takes to get it done. And that means coming together and hopefully meeting compromises for what's best for the South Dakota citizens.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. The Democrats will be speaking at 9:30 next week. Thank you.